My name's Lena. Certainly an alcoholic, member of the Triangle Group. Gee, I love meetings. I don't know. I go through stages. Sometimes they're really good and sometimes they're excellent. And I'm going through a really excellent stage. It gives me a lot of warmth within inside of me. Fantasy's been mentioned a lot today. Before I drank, I remember my stepmother saying to me, Lena, you need another job. You live in your mind too much. And my fantasies were always fabulous and reality was never ever quite that good for me. I hadn't attempted suicide even before I picked up a drink, and I found booze very soon after that, and I knew I didn't have to die. I thought, wow, I've met my maker, this is exactly what I want. And it gave me great release from myself. It's as simple as that. I was a very self-centered, very sensitive, very unhappy child, and booze, I believe, took all those feelings away from me for a very short time. If I could have stayed drunk 24 hours a day, I'd still be drunk. But I suffered from blackouts from the word go. I was never, ever a social drinker. I mean, a 14-year-old swigging rum out of a bottle isn't very social. And that was me, and I continued on like that for 11 years. And you're here, you know what happens. You know, I needed more and more. The good times certainly got less and less. And 11 years later, I had my second attempt at suicide. It was like the whole circle had turned, and for every inadequate feeling I had when I picked up that drink, it was back 3,000 times fold. The fears were something that I can't tell you about. If you've been there, you know I was scared of everything. In the end, I wouldn't leave the house except to get booze. I always identified with Darrow's. I always went and bought booze for very old, large women in the pubs early in the morning because that's where I knew I'd end up. Thank God it doesn't have to be like that today. I found Alcoholics Anonymous in April 1976 up in Sydney for the first time. I did ring Alcoholics Anonymous up when I was 19. I knew then that I had a problem. It took me another 6 years of drinking to even talk about that problem. And then it took another 7 months of three false starts at Alcoholics Anonymous to accept that problem. And I don't believe I did any good until I accepted that problem. I blamed everybody and everything and every situation in my life for my drinking being like it was. And that wasn't so. I woke up Christmas Day 1976 and I saw myself for the very, very first time as I was. Not as that wonderful fantasy of how I was going to be if or that or this happened. I was an absolute drunk. I picked up this dreadful habit in the later days of my drinking of stepping outside of myself and looking at myself. And I couldn't hold alcohol anymore. I had enormous tolerance for alcohol, late teens, early 20s. But here I was, two or three glasses just topped up, and I could hear myself slurring my words. I was an absolute babbling idiot. And I think the thing that I hated most in those last few months of drinking was my head. I couldn't formulate any thoughts. I couldn't remember anything about the night before. I was totally indecisive. And when you're living between Sydney and Melbourne with a car full of staff, it becomes quite expensive in petrol and just a horrible way to live, to pack your bags three or four times, you know, in the car, move state, come back. When you're drunk, you move again. It was just horrific. I came back to Alcoholics Anonymous Boxing Day 1976, and I thank God for the gift of acceptance because it was there. And thank goodness since then, I haven't really had that uncontrollable obsession to drink again. I've had maybe a good 10 to a dozen thoughts of, wow, I'd like to be out of it. But I've never ever thought or seen myself in a nice beer garden with the palm trees, you know, with a nice cocktail. I imagined myself lying on the concrete floor in some cellar with a big vat of brandy and the tap turned open and my mouth underneath it, you know. I mean, there's never been anything social about my drinking. And it's great that it's that extreme. Because I know then that I don't really want the drink. What I want is to escape the reality or the hell that I've put myself into again. And that's when I can get on the phone, I can come to meetings. All of the things that I heard very, very early in the piece are still so very, very important to me. That how, the honesty, the open mind and the willingness. I've still got those three qualifications today. My sobriety to me today is the most important thing. I won't do anything to jeopardize that. I had to be very ruthless in the beginning. I used to leave dinner parties at the strangest times. Got a headache, got to go. Ooh, my tummy. They must have thought I was the sickest person getting off the booze. But it was because when I couldn't stand the tension, I just told little white lies and I left. You know, because I knew this time I'm dealing with my life. And I wanted to stay alive, and I never ever knew that before then. And so I did what I was told by the older members. I couldn't say God when I first got to Alcoholics Anonymous. I thought it was a weakness to need God. My mother had died when I was 13, and I became self-pity personified. You know, it was just unbelievable. So I could go to the Buddhist temples and I could go and say guru. That was more my age group. And yet I used to give all you people so much hell from the floor that I started, through my fourth and fifth step, I started to realize and accept the fact that there's a God. I mean, how are we all here? And I used to give so much rubbish out, and people used to give me so much love and attention back. Nobody, you know, nobody else could have done that except Divine. I found the big book in the early days of my sobriety. I was told to call it the Book of Instructions, and Lena, you need putting back together, they said. So I read that big book when I couldn't be at the two meetings that I needed every day, and I would read that in between meetings, and I found every answer that I needed there. I put it back on the shelf and forget about it, and then I start to feel dis-ease and restless and not comfortable again, and I get the book out again, and there is somebody slipped new lines in there for me, you know. The more I'm sober, the more I'm reading into that book. I'm finding it totally unbelievable to realise that 100 AA members put that book together before they were 4 years sober. That's amazing, because it is perfect to me. I certainly complicate it and don't keep it as simple as I could. But that's the way I am. I wouldn't swap myself with anybody today, and that's really a very powerful statement from me. My whole life I've always wanted to be like them if this was like that. I've been a comparer and a judger all my life. And I read somewhere not so long ago that judgment is all form of stress. And then I became very aware of how much judging I did, and my God, it's hard to let that one go. But maybe because I verbalise that loudly now, I seem to find when I say these things, they're easier for me. I love all of you people here. You've given me so much. Well, you've given me me. I've met myself along the path. I met that 14-year-old girl that needed to drink so viciously, and she doesn't need to do that anymore, and I can give her the love she needs when she starts stamping her feet with I wants, and the mature Lena can give her everything that she's learned through this program. Thanks very much. Thank you.